The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Second hour at 10:04. Randy Corcoran, good to have you here. 303-696-1971 is the phone number. We'll get back to phone calls here in just a little bit. Let me check in. I didn't look on the break. Is Rudy Giuliani still in the hot seat? No, looks like all the lawyers are saying, yeah, I want a transcript. And if you think that it's problematic that I didn't get to participate in this very important deposition in our Eric Coomer defamation case, we all get a transcript, and you can buy the video if you think it's important. And so the things that I missed, I listened intently for a while this morning, but the things I missed, I will not miss when the time comes to get into a courtroom and talk about what people said and what they did. Very, very fascinating things going on. And I did double check, and you guys are right. The caller was right that it was 19 Republicans who wound up voting for this atrocious, sickening non-birthday present. Well, Joe wouldn't remember. Zombie Joe doesn't know. But present to the failing Joe Biden, this infrastructure bill, non-infrastructure, Green New Deal preliminary bill. And before we get to our guests, let me just tell you who they were. 19 is right. It was Roy Blunt in Missouri, Richard Burr in North Carolina, Shelley Moore Capito, West Virginia, Bill Cassidy, Louisiana, Susan Collins in Maine, Kevin Cramer, North Dakota, Mike Crapo, Idaho, go figure, Deb Fisher, Nebraska, Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, Chuck Grassley, Iowa, John Haven or Hooven or Hoven, North Dakota, Mitch McConnell, Kentucky, Lisa Murkowski, Alaska, Rob Portman on his way out, Ohio, James Risch, Idaho, Mitt Romney, Utah, big surprise, Dan Sullivan, Alaska, Tom Tillis, North Carolina, Roger Wicker, Mississippi. And let me tell you what happened. The Republican Party itself in Lindsey Graham's home state, South Carolina, censured him. They voted to censure him for voting for that disaster. And that's appropriate. The citizens who elect these people have to now hold them accountable, and when they get the chance, vote them out. Not the job of the RNC. And we'll get back to that conversation. Seems to be a lot of interest in it. And I'll share with you the personal story that Ronna McDaniel shared with all of the 168 members of the RNC at our summer training. Talk a little bit about Nashville as well. But right now, it's time to check in on the effort to convince the 4,000 or so voters in the Central Committee, the people who are on the Central Committee, this would create the opportunity for about 4,000 people to pick and choose our candidates going into the general election, the effort to opt out of the open primary. And boy, I can't think of anybody better to pick up the conversation with than my old friend Jimmy Mack. Jimmy, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Randy. I appreciate you letting me talk for a couple of minutes on your show. I'm so happy that you are on the radio. Your show is a regular part of my Saturday morning, and I tune in and listen in my little home office here online on my computer here at the heavily armed compound. And you know that I'm telling you the truth. You know me. Whenever you do the pledge and the national anthem, I have a big giant flag here in my office, and I may be all by myself, no one watching, but I stand up and I put my hand over my heart, and I recite the pledge along with you, and I sing the national anthem because that's just kind of who I am. So
yeah,
your show is a great addition to any Saturday morning.
Well, Jimmy, thank you for that. And of course, people who can't tune in live can get the podcast at 710canus.com. Only thing is, all the music's gone. We can do the pledge, but you'll never hear the national anthem anymore. Let me tell you what I'm trying to do, though. And we've got plenty of time, so we'll get to any of the points you want to make this morning. But I was at the El Paso County Lincoln Day dinner a week ago Friday. Marjorie Taylor Greene, standing room only, people offering to pay money to buy other people's tickets. That's how much interest there was to get in there. And I had no idea that El Paso County Chairwoman Vicky Tonkins could sing the way she does. So I have asked her to record for me the national anthem. And
absolutely right. I was there. I saw you. I spoke with you there. And we commented at our table, wow, she's not a county chair who sings. She's a singer who's a county chair.
Yeah.
She was excellent.
Yeah, just beautiful. So if she does that for me, then at least we'll have a full rendition that we can play anytime we want without having to worry about licensing fees or anything. At least I believe that to be true. I'll have to check with the gods above to make sure. But but for people who listen to the podcast and wonder why all the music's gone, that's why. There are licensing and legal issues that no longer allow us to keep those in the podcast. So, you know, I was reading through mycoloradogop.org this morning, mycoloradogop.org, and something people need to know. George Brockler wrote an editorial in the Denver Post opposing what we're trying to do. Megan Schrader said, I can write a response. I'll try and get that done this week and published in the Denver Post telling our side of the story. But if people right now go to mycoloradogop.org, we're not just telling one side of the story. We're putting up everybody's opinion, including one of the biggest proponents of staying in.
And are you referring to Brockler or?
No, I'm referring to Ben Nicholas. His article is there, Disenfranchisement Argument Against Opting Out.
Oh, okay. Well, but if you'll read Ben's article, he proposes a very viable and workable, doable solution. This word, as we've been traveling all over the state of Colorado, we keep hearing this word disenfranchisement. I'll be disenfranchised. This will disenfranchise voters, the unaffiliated voters. It'll disenfranchise Republican voters. And so I think Ben just said, you know what, I'm going to write an article that addresses the actual disenfranchisement.
All right.
And it's basically, it really doesn't exist with what we are proposing.
So I misunderstood the headline of this article, which is a risk if you're flying through trying to draw points. This is him taking on one of the opponents to what we're trying to do's arguments on this page.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Absolutely correct.
All right. So let's take a step back for new listeners or people who aren't sure exactly what we're talking about, and go ahead and lay this out for everybody. Oh, and Jimmy, before we do that, talk about your credentials for just a minute.
I have been in the past the secretary of the Jefferson County Republican Party, and I want to say about 8 years now, I have been the chairman of the North Jeffco Tea Party. I'm on the executive board of the Jeffco Liberty Coalition, which is a coalition of all area tea parties in Jeffco. I'm just generally a big pain in the butt to any liberal cause. If there's an activism event, you're probably going to see me there, probably going to be carrying a big flag. And I feel like this particular issue is crucial to the Republican Party winning again in Colorado. I'm a proud Republican. I'm happy to hear you come to the defense of the RNC, Randy, because ultimately that's who we are. If you are a constitutional conservative, then you've got a friend in me and my people. And we feel like that aligns very clearly with Republicans, or it should. Anyway, there are certainly exceptions. But, you know, what people need to understand about the Republican Party, even many actual Republicans don't understand this, is that we are a national group. We're a statewide group. We have county Republican chapters, but we are all collectively registered Republicans and a private organization, which means we, in and of ourselves, should be able to make our own rules, choose our own candidates. As it stands right now, for any of your listeners who don't quite understand what this current system we have now called the open primary. Let me explain it very, very quickly. Since 2016 in state of Colorado, as a result of, without getting too deep in the weeds, as a result of Proposition 107 and 108, it is now a state law that unaffiliated voters may vote in Republican primaries. And, you know, myself and my committee members, by the way, this committee is not official at all. We're just a handful of concerned Republicans that would like to see some changes take place regarding the Colorado Republican Party. And probably at the top of that list is the fact that we'd like to start winning elections again. And this is one of my big, giant bullet points. Clearly, what we have been doing is not working. And we feel that one of the things that needs to be done toward that goal is to do away with open primaries. Now, again, if you don't know what the open primaries are or is, this is the current system in place in Colorado that allows unaffiliated voters to vote in Republican primaries. This system, like I said, has been in place since 2016, and frankly, it has not served us well. We feel like only Republicans should be able to vote in Republican primaries. Someone wrote a great op-ed piece. I'm sorry, I don't remember specifically who. I think it may have been Sue Moore with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado, and made a great analogy. This would be like a football team allowing the other team to select their quarterback for them. I don't know why we would allow non-Republicans to help choose Republican candidates.
Let's stipulate to that fact. It makes no sense at all. And we've seen some of the results, the extraordinary amount of money coming in, not only from so-called Republicans who want to primary out real constitutional conservative candidates like Justin Everett pops to mind.
Yes, sir.
But also, you know, Democrats registering for our primaries, focusing on the person they think they can beat, or if it's a strong Republican district, focusing on the person that they know is going to compromise with them more and help them advance more of the Democrat agenda. I believe that all of those things happen. So let's advance it to the next step. People say that you're limiting then the selection of our general election candidates through the primary process to only about 4,000 Republicans, those who become delegates who are on the different committees in the Central Committee and elsewhere. And 4,000 people is not representative of the entire state worth of Republicans, and it disenfranchises those Republicans. So, number one, that's not necessarily true, right? This limit to 4,000, there are ways to open that up to those who choose to get involved in it.
Yes, that you're absolutely correct. For those who choose to get involved in it, and you know, if our opponents are people who disagree with us that want to keep this system in place, use that argument, and they start playing the numbers game and saying, "Oh, you're going to disenfranchise. You're only letting 4,000 people vote." Well, you know, you and I both have been involved in politics in Colorado for many years. And how many times, Randy, have you gone to your caucus? And these are typically held like in a high school or a junior high building so that it can accommodate everyone. And this is like a meeting for the various precincts in your area. Often they'll have one precinct in one classroom, another precinct in another classroom, and you will vote on your representatives who will go forward and so forth. How many times have you been to a caucus and there's just nobody that shows up from multiple precincts? Or if there is, there's one or two or three people. So that's almost kind of a invalid argument saying that, we'll just have people showing up at the caucus, and once we reach a limit, then we can have no more, and that's not fair because it disenfranchises, there's that word again, the people who wanted to. You know, if we had that many people who wanted to participate, our caucuses would be full. Those classrooms would be full every time we have a caucus. However, with I think getting back to the article you were referring to, Ben Nicholas wrote this this proposal because we kept getting asked by people, okay, guys, you make a great argument against having open primaries, but here's the question. Once we do vote to opt out of the open primaries, then what? Then what do we do? What does that look like? And the answer is we can do whatever we want to. We can change our bylaws and our voting structure any way we want to. Ben's idea, and I'm going to try to paraphrase it very poorly probably, is that we would go ahead and go forward with our caucus as usual. We would also enable people's ability to petition on to the ballot as we have had for so many years. And so we will have essentially, we're talking about the primaries now, essentially we would have winners that would emerge from the caucus. We would have other people who qualified to be on the ballot by petitioning on, gathering a certain number of signatures in their areas. And then here's where the new plan comes in. We would have what Ben refers to in his article, and I encourage people to read it, an unassembled assembly, which means we basically have a runoff of all of those winners. We have the winners from the caucus and people who qualified by petitioning on. Then we have a runoff where every single Republican, registered Republican in the state of Colorado can go to their individual precincts or county headquarters and vote. It would probably cost, I think there would probably be a fee of maybe $5 or $10. We can all decide on that as we vote on these bylaws. And that money would go to each respective county party, which would help them at the grassroots level. And out of that process, this unassembled assembly, then we will emerge the names that we would put on the ballot. And the great thing about this is nothing but Republicans selecting Republican candidates, and every single Republican in the state of Colorado can participate. No one gets disenfranchised. I'm going to try to quit using that word.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Well, Jimmy, this is so much information, and I just want to remind folks, talking with Jimmy Mack and about the opt-out effort to get the Republicans out of this open primary, which at least as far as results go, hasn't delivered us any good results, hasn't delivered us some huge increase in voters who want to participate with Republicans. But if you want to get the details, I know that's a lot of information to throw at somebody sipping their coffee on a Saturday morning. MyColoradoGOP.org. MyColoradoGOP.org is a great place to start. And let me just say this about what you just laid out. Number one, those 4,000 people who would do the initial choosing, you're also opening it up to petitions. But those 4,000 people who would help select those different candidates aren't just 4,000 people, because those people are elected or nominated to be in that position by other Republicans. So we're starting
at
the
correct.
And it's true that sometimes people don't ever show up to a caucus. So it may just be the guy who shows up that winds up being part of that 4,000. But that's up to Republicans then, who care enough about getting involved. They can show up. They can be that elected official. But using the system that you just described, at the end of the day, once all of the different candidates are ascertained, every Republican will have the ability to show up at their local precinct, likely using a paper ballot. That would be our preference, so they can be properly counted and on the localest of local levels. And any registered Republican, and registered Republican only, could then participate in selecting those general election candidates. And so
absolutely. And another marked difference in the tally of this process would be that it never, ever, ever left the Republican Party. In other words, as the current system that we're using right now, the open primaries, Democrat-controlled Jenna Griswold's agency counts our ballots. So
we've seen how that's been going.
Yeah, we really have. That's been actually very, very current here lately in the news. I don't think that the Republicans need or want Democrats, who may or may not have a nefarious agenda, to count our votes and then report who our candidates are. We can do that. We will select who our candidates are, and then we will say, hey, Madam Secretary of State, this, and this are our candidates that we are submitting to be on the ballot.
Jimmy, that's it for this segment, but just a great, I hope, encouragement for anyone who's listening and who's still trying to sort this out to take what you said, go over to mycoloradogop.org, dig into the details, all of the different stories that are there. I certainly will be connecting with you and others as I put together my response to George Brockler for the Denver Post. Hopefully we'll get that out this week and published, and we can talk more about it next week. September 18th is coming up very, very fast, a little more than a month. What is that, four Saturdays from today? Three, four, five, maybe, six.
Yeah.
That decision is going to have to be made very, very soon. And I just think it's so important to get people energized about at least talking about it. And you've been a great help in getting that started again today on Saturday.
Well, thank you so much, my friend. May I take 10 seconds to do a shameless plug about my upcoming Tea Party meeting on Thursday?
You better believe it.
Okay, very good. It is on Thursday, the 19th, this coming Thursday at 6:30 p.m. in Lakewood at Cafe Del Sol Mexican-American Restaurant, 608 Garrison Street in Lakewood. Our keynote speaker for that evening is Danielle Neuschwanger, who is a candidate for Colorado governor. She could potentially dethrone His Royal Highness Jared Polis. So come see her, meet her, interview her for the job. Come have some great food with us. They even have beer. So come join us. We'd love to have you.
And I will just say that she and Greg Lopez, I don't know if any other gubernatorial candidate was there. Peter Yu and Eric Odland, Senate candidates, were all at the El Paso Lincoln Day dinner. No fear in those four. That is for sure.
Yeah.
So, Jimmy Mack, good luck with your tea party. Perhaps it'll be you or somebody else we'll talk to next weekend. But really appreciate your time this morning. And thanks for listening to the show. It really means a lot to me.
Oh, very good. Thank you so much, Randy. Appreciate all you do and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Better believe it. MyColoradoGOP.org. MyColoradoGOP.org. 303-696-1971, 696-1971. No more scheduled guests. Rudy Giuliani's back in the hot seat. Deposition is back underway, so I'm going to take a quick look at that as we head to break here on 710 KNUS. Just bizarre. 1031 Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS. The deposition of Rudy Giuliani underway, and for some reason, I can't get my computer to go quiet or to get out of that meeting, so I may just have to shut it down. But probably shouldn't try and do two things at once. But it's just interesting to watch. I'll get to read the transcript and see what they're handing him and things like that. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, just going to have to shut the computer. Isn't that weird? Who's in control of your own computer? Hard to say. All right, we've been talking about a number of things. My defense of the RNC. Happy to take your calls, your questions. We all know. Will you come in here and get this computer? It's closed and it's not shutting off. This deposition is not for public consumption right now. We'll try and fix that on the break. It's hilarious. So we've been talking about the RNC. I want to talk to you a little bit about Nashville and my experience there. And Afghanistan has come up. And any and all of those topics are on the table. No more guests today. 303-696-1971. If you'd like to join the show, Gary in Denver has been waiting, so we'll get to him next. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Randy. It's Gutless Gary.
Gutless Gary. I thought we got past that name for you when you started calling in.
It's my moniker. I'm very proud of that.
All right. I like IRS Gary better.
All right. That's cool.
All right.
I was listening to George's frequent epidemiologist, doctor's conversation about COVID, and it kind of turned my head. You know, I agree 100% with you that people should have the right to choose whether or not they get a vaccination, and that should be their choice. And the doctor this morning, he was clearly urging people to get it. He threw out a lot of statistics. And so that's him, you know. He doesn't apparently believe in people's right to choice. But one of the things he said kind of turned my head. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. And he was saying, well, if you haven't gotten vaccinated, if you have gotten vaccinated and you pick up this new strain, this Delta strain, you probably will have minor symptoms, but you won't end up in the hospital or dead. He said, but if you have not received the vaccination, you have a higher probability of getting sick, ending in the hospital, and possibly dead. And I thought, you know, in a way, the people who have not gotten vaccinated will help the entire population, because they'll serve as a double-blind study on the Delta virus, and they may end up really sick in the hospital or dead, but that's okay, because it will see how that vaccination deals with these variants, which will go on and on for an awful long time. So I'm now almost encouraging people who haven't gotten the vaccine to not get it, so that they could be the double part or the double blind portion of this study where the vaccine was not taken. And the rest of us who took the vaccine could be those who did take the vaccination. So what do you think about that?
Well, I'm not sure I appreciate or think highly of your motives for that. You're saying we'll just find out if they get sick and they can be part of the experiment. But I would rather have them not be part of the vaccination experiment that's being foisted on everybody with these emergency use authorized drugs. I had to send my computer out of the room because I couldn't silence the Rudy Giuliani deposition, but I had a bunch of statistics with regard to all of the horrible reactions to vaccines that are going on around the world, the number of people who have died after taking the vaccine compared to, you know, when they stopped vaccine testing with other diseases. It just concerns the heck out of me that people are making this decision based on propaganda without taking the time to do homework of their own and make their own decisions, especially folks who are talking about giving these to their children. We're still in the same situation we were last year, that the people who are really at risk of dying are people who have prior, you know, more morbidly obese, have prior respiratory or other serious problems, and the very old. And for everybody else, go ahead.
And you're right. And for instance, yourself, since you haven't taken the vaccine, you'll be able to show us whether or not people who don't have any of those conditions will go down as a result of the Delta variant. So anyway,
yeah, absolutely,
I hear you.
Are you gleeful with that? I just can't quite tell.
I'm not gleeful, but it kind of helps me to not even think about insisting that people who choose not to get vaccinated to get vaccinated.
Yeah. Had I had a chance, and I thought about asking George, but we just didn't have time on the crossover. I did hear his segment before the deposition started of Rudy Giuliani. I heard his segment with the doctor, Ben Raby, I think is his name. And I would love, and he made the statement that other doctors, listeners have said, well, what about this doctor or that doctor? And he said, well, I just don't believe them. So it'd be hard for me to have those questions or have them on my show. And I thought about proposing, and maybe I'll do this later over the weekend, that, hey, why don't you give me Ben Raby sometime for my show? And we'll select one of these other doctors and just lawyer it, you know, cross-examine the person that you disagree with. And let's get it out there.
Like Dr. McCallum, who I know is against the vaccine.
Sure, sure. And I might bring and the other thing I'll say is what I don't ever hear from people like Dr. Raby, who sounds brilliant and is willing to take questions. And, you know, I appreciate any guest that comes on 710 KNUS. But he never talks about people building themselves up, just taking the things to put in your body that are known to strengthen your resistance against the way the Chinese Communist Party virus attacks a human being. And I wonder why we don't hear a little bit more of that. It's just vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. on something that is hurting people as well as protecting people. I understand that. Of course, now we're saying we may need three shots. So I just, there's so much out there, Gary. I think your questions are fair, and I appreciate the call this morning.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. I don't know. Was Gary saying, yeah, well, you guys will die, and then we'll see? I don't know. I don't trust Gary's motives all that much. All right, Gary's line is the only open line we've got, 303-696-1971, 696-1971. He mentioned Dr. Julie McCallum, so what a perfect time to talk about my good friend Julie McCallum at Cenogenics. It's such a great place. Was talking with Julie last night, was texting with her, I guess emailing with her this morning, talking about my wife and her recovery from her hospitalization and just the different things that are going on right now, her practice, my law firm getting bombarded with people who are saying, I don't want the vaccine, and my employer, maybe a hospital or another healthcare provider, my school district, maybe the union or the school board that is mandating it for teachers or, of course, their students, and they don't want it. What do we do about it? And I will just tell you, we are deeply involved. We've been sending letters outside of Colorado to other people affiliating with lawyers in other states saying, stop it. Here's why. Wait, it's not even approved yet. On and on and on. But Dr. Julie McCallum has literally changed my life. I haven't felt this good in forever. And it's because I got involved with Cenogenics. You've been hearing about them here on 710 forever. And I met her through Pete. You can take one look at Pete at his age, his high level of energy and functioning every single day. And I know he believes in Cenogenics. He's doing it just as I do. Their team can help you get your metabolism and hormones balanced and healthy. And my belief is that that helps me stay strongly resistant to the CCP virus, and I'm not making that claim on behalf of Cenogenics or anybody else, but it's one of the motivating factors for me that I really appreciate being involved in this program. They do everything, blood testing, brain testing, physical testing, put together a comprehensive assessment of you and your buddy, and you and your body. Hopefully your body is your buddy. And after that comprehensive assessment, Dr. Julie will spend all the time you need with all the answers for you, and they'll provide you a supervised plan to help you lose weight, gain lean muscle mass, increase your mental clarity, all of those benefits that I am personally feeling because I'm doing it myself. I called Cenogenics. I hope you will too. Their phone number, 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681. Or go to the website just to learn more. It's denver.cenogenics.com, denver.cenogenics.com. Full lines, your calls next, 710-KNUS. We're back at 1045. We've got about 15 minutes to go until the top of the hour. Open lines through the end of the show. Full lines right now, 303-696-1971. Text messages pouring in after I was talking about not only Cenogenics, but taking care of yourself. Nobody talks about stuffing their faces with Chips Ahoy, Lay's, Mountain Dew, ice cream, the rest of the crap you see in most people's shopping carts. What was the other one here? Are you doing the hormone replacement there? The only hormone that I seem to be a little low on is testosterone. So I do take a tiny bit of that every week. And obviously growing hair on my back now and becoming a monster now. It's just here's the cool thing about the Cenogenics. I know the conversation is over. I'll talk about them again next hour. But, it's not a bodybuilding program. You're not taking things to pump you up or to focus on this or that. It's all about bringing your body back into balance. And so we know what the human body needs to function, to do what it's naturally designed to do, including protecting itself from viruses like the CCP virus. And if you have all those things in line, then you're have a great chance of living a longer, healthier life and being protected from diseases. It was great being in Nashville with no masks and groups of hundreds and hundreds of people. And I just had no fear about it. And the great news, neither did they. Somebody else wrote in, yeah, another radio host, a different station, I think, said the same thing. We hear nothing about people needing to boost their own immunity. why doesn't every one of these pro-jab doctors, when they get on, say, well, first and foremost, I want everybody to understand that in cold and virus season especially, but year-round, your body requires X, Y, and Z to function properly to protect itself. We never hear that. We just hear, do the jab, do the jab. So I'm going to offer to George Brockler that we swap experts. He's a lawyer. He can cross-examine somebody he doesn't believe. And we'll see if he's interested in doing that. That would be very, very interesting. And I'll take Dr. Raby respectfully, lovingly, appreciatively. I appreciate any guest, any caller who comes on this station, whether they agree with me or not. But we'll have an exploration. I've said the same thing about the election fraud. All of the media, so many people are just scared to death to talk about whether the 2020 election was stolen or not. And I'll throw down the challenge anytime, anywhere, any microphone, any newspaper. I've offered to write about it for the Denver Post. Haven't been taken up on that one yet. Offered to write about the vaccine. Haven't been taken up on that one yet. But anytime, anywhere, any state, the Lindell Cyber Symposium this last week, Colorado, very prominent presence there. Joel Oldman was on stage. Our Mesa County clerk and recorder, Tina Peters, America's mom, Sharona Bishop, who's been on this show multiple times, were all up on stage up there. And because I was in the RNC, I couldn't watch it, which is why I'm not really talking about it very much. But over time, evidence, truth, facts, spent a lot of time with Kelly Ward in Nashville, the Arizona audit, all slow as hell, but all moving forward. Just be patient. All right, we've got full lines and have forever. See if I can pull up let's go to line one, because Carlene and Evans is responding to Jack in Denver, who called in. This is the Jack that you just can't have a conversation with. And he said, you're blaming Biden for Afghanistan, and it was Trump's fault because he made the deal with. Is that a pretty good imitation? That's not bad, because he made the deal. Well, anyway, don't mean to. Yes, I do mean to mock Jack. But Carlene, welcome. As I forgot about, because I pulled up several stories on what he said about Trump and the agreement he made with the Taliban and Afghanistan. And it sounds like you caught on to it right away. Jack in Denver simply wasn't telling the full story. Go ahead.
Yes. He didn't tell the whole story. He never does. Trump exchanged 1,000 of his prisoners for that 5,000 Taliban.
Okay, so we got 1,000 Americans back for 5,000 Taliban?
That's right.
Okay.
And I don't know if they were all Americans, but he did do that. And if you look it up online, you can find it.
So how do you explain the 5-to-1 ratio?
I just think they were very important people, and they were that important to Trump. And I think maybe they were Americans. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he never tells the whole truth. He's just so Democrat that there's nothing that you can explain for that.
Sure.
Except.
Well, Carlene, thank you.
I'm going to let you go, I just wanted you to know that he's not telling the whole truth.
Carlene, thanks for working your way into the show and waiting, and I really appreciate you listening. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
I just love the listeners to 710 KNUS, and especially Wake Up with Randy Corporan. Carlene is the only open line we have, 303-696-1971. I pulled up even an ABC piece on this deal, and it was far more complex also than what the prior caller from Denver was talking about. This was a deal that would have included the Taliban sitting down with the Afghanistan government and negotiating, drawing up certain requirements and parameters to move that region, that area, away from terrorism and from this Taliban dominance. And Mike Pompeo was heavily involved. He was there. He was doing the negotiating. And so you really can't equate the efforts. Donald Trump was going to bring the troops home, and it was about damn time. And Joe Biden did it as well. But you cannot equate the efforts of Donald Trump and how he would have implemented this removal strategy to how zombie, slimy Joe Biden has implemented it so far. It's been an entire and complete disaster. All right, let's get back to the phones. Janice in Walsenburg. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Interesting metaphors for Biden.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to know what entails unaffiliated voter.
Sure. It just means that you're registered to vote, but you are not registered with any political party, Republican, Democrat, the Constitutional Party, the Green Party, the Communist Socialist Party, or any of it.
Libertarian, is that unaffiliated?
No, Libertarian is a party. Unaffiliated is completely and utterly unaffiliated. So you can vote.
So these people, do they really exist?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I have unregistered as a Republican before when the Republican Attorney General's Association brought in all kinds of money and blew Tom Tancredo out of the governor's primary in protest. I was doing a morning show on another station every day, and in protest I deregistered as a Republican and encouraged others to do it as well.
So the deadlines to register for a specific party to vote in any election is so set that you can unaffiliate and vote for anybody and then re-register with your original party? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I forget the actual deadlines, but I know for instance, to participate in the primary, you have to have been registered with a party for at least 30, maybe 60 days. So there are some time limits, but it's very easy to machinate that system and just time it perfectly and be a Democrat who registers as a Republican to play in our primary or whatever.
So are there any statistics that says that the Democrat Party is specifically unregistering to vote in our primaries?
Well, I don't know about statistics. I haven't looked for them, but I know Republicans who have taken advantage of this situation since this is the way the system is set up right now, who have registered and voted in Democrat primaries. And so given how much smarter the Democrats are when it comes to politics than Republicans seem to be, or at least have been in the past, you have to believe that many, many of them make that choice. I haven't seen the numbers, but I've heard this repeated so many times by people I trust that that's one of the ways Dan Mays became the gubernatorial candidate for the Republicans back in that race against Hickenlooper, was a bunch of Democrats.
Yeah, where in the hell did he come from? Nobody knows.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Janice.
Well, one more question.
Yeah.
I forgot. I'm sorry.
That's all right. You want to go back on hold? We need to take a break anyway. If you think about it, we'll bring you back. If not, we'll move on. All right, hold on. That means there is not an open line for you to call, but we're going to get to more calls on the other side. Final hour of Wake Up with Randy Corporan. We'll clear the three calls that are on the board, and then I will get into some of my RNC experience, my heightened respect and appreciation and love for Ronna McDaniel, and why I am defending the RNC for all of its warts, all of its imperfections, all of that ahead on the third hour. Wake Up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.